has been another day of bloodshed in Afghanistan. More than 24 people killed and a dozen more wounded in a series of suicide bombings in Nimruz province. The bombers striking at a bazaar where people were getting ready to celebrate the end of the fasting month of Ramadan. This was in Jaranj in southwestern Afghanistan near the border with Iran. Another bombing in the north killed at least 10 people, some of them children, also at a bazaar. Let's check in with Rajiv Chandrasekaran, who covers the war in Afghanistan for The Washington Post. And Rajiv, these attacks today, especially the one in Zaranj, because as we understand it from your writing, this had been a peaceful area until today.
It has. It actually been such a peaceful area that there were very, very few international security forces there. In fact, just a very small coordination office in Zaranj, nothing more than that. It was a place where Afghan police and Afghan soldiers had largely been in control. So perhaps seen by Taliban insurgents as a potential soft target where they could conduct a spectacular attack, meeting relatively little resistance from international forces.
Well, and it could have been worse, we understand. The police there say they killed two would-be suicide bombers and killed, this was last night, and then killed or captured several more today. There may have been as many as 14.
That's right. Those are unconfirmed reports at this point, but it certainly sounds as if this was a potentially very large and coordinated attack. Not at all clear that all of those suicide bombers would have been seeking to conduct the attack in that bazaar. There might have been a series of other targets envisaged. You know, one thing that's worth noting about Nimruz province is that it's predominantly ethnic Baluchi, which is a different ethnic group than you find in many of the other parts of Afghanistan, and it's different from the ethnic Pashtun population from which the Taliban are drawn from and which predominate across much of the rest of southern and eastern Afghanistan. And so there could be an ethnic component to this as well. The Baluchi have been fighting for an independent homeland in parts of Pakistan, Iran, and in Afghanistan, and could well be some motivations behind the Taliban for an attack like that.
Well, just very briefly, you mentioned Iran, and we mentioned that one of these attacks was on the border with Iran. We know Iran forging relationships with Iraq, has relationships with Syria. Just remind us, how does Iran play into Afghanistan?
Well, they have a very uneasy relationship with Afghanistan. On one hand, some in the Iranian leadership look at the continued insurgency as a good thing because it's increasing the costs for the United States, and they look at the violence directed against Western militaries there as something that is helpful to the overall Iranian posture vis-a-vis the West. At the same time, the Iranians are uneasy with the Taliban as radical Sunni Muslims. Iraq, of course, predominantly is Shiite Muslim, a rival sect, and so they are uneasy with the notion of the Taliban sweeping back into power. So, the Iranians are trying to play something of a double game in Afghanistan, supporting the government of President Hamid Karzai, but also trying to foment a degree of violence there to make things chaotic and destabilizing for the United States and its NATO allies.
Well, and, more so than it already is, let's just talk about these so-called green-on-blue attacks. This is when Afghan security forces or insurgents dressed in green Afghan army uniforms turn their weapons on the troops, or the NATO troops dressed in blue, that are supposed to be training them. 7 NATO troops have been killed in the last week in these attacks. Here's U.S. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta.
Are we looking at something that indicates a pattern for the future? And at least the feeling of the military commanders on the ground is this still remains sporadic.
What do you think to his question, Rajiv? Are we looking at something that indicates a pattern of the future? How awful, troops turning on troops?
Well, it is happening more often. And so what had been more sporadic now seems to be more systematic. The causes are varied. In some cases, it has to do with individual disputes or grievances between Afghans and Americans on small bases. In other cases, it appears to be part of a coordinated effort by the Taliban to place infiltrators within the ranks of the Afghan security forces. Either way, it is having a profound impact on a very, very important issue, which is trying to build and develop the Afghan security forces. That is the key pillar of the U.S. exit strategy. Get the Afghans, get the Afghan military to a position where they can take charge of security. And that requires U.S. forces and NATO forces to work very closely with Afghan units, to patrol together, to live together, to eat together, to plan missions together. But if there's the constant threat that in any of those settings, Afghan service members or individuals disguised as Afghan service members may fire upon Western troops, it certainly adds a new complication to this effort and really sets back efforts to try to build up the Afghan forces.
Well, meanwhile, one of these green-on-blue attacks happened at a meal, and the AP is reporting that the U.S. is now designating one U.S. soldier, they're calling them a guardian angel, in these army units that are working with Afghan security forces, and that soldier's sole job is to guard against attacks while American forces eat, sleep, or exercise. What a metaphor. We only have a couple minutes here, Rajiv, but what a metaphor for sort of the trust that isn't yet there.
That's right. This is supposed to be partnership. And what sort of message does that then send to the good Afghan soldiers and policemen who at every encounter with the Americans sort of see an armed guard there? Part of building this trust is when both sides put down their rifles, sit there and break bread together. And if that can't happen now without sort of armed overwatch, it really raises fundamental questions about the viability of the strategy to build and train those forces as part of a methodical, carefully thought out exit strategy from that country over the next 2.5 years.
And just very, very briefly, a couple seconds that we have, there were rumors in the last few years that there were talks with the Taliban. There weren't talks with the Taliban. Are there talks with the Taliban?
Well, there are some talks between the Afghan government and some Taliban leaders or former leaders. There were some reports over the past few days that Afghan peace delegation met with a former senior Taliban leader now under Pakistani custody, although the Pakistanis have denied that. But there's no real systematic talks, nothing formalized here yet. And in my sense, it's going to take some time to get to that point, perhaps not until U.S. forces depart the country in 2014.
Rajiv Chandrasekaran, author of Little America, The War Within the War for Afghanistan, on a new phrase, we just have to add to the lexicon, green on blue violence. Rajiv, thanks as always.
Good to talk to you.
And we'll be back in 1 minute. We're going to remember Johnny Pesky, here and now.